This is your KVNF Regional Newscast for Tuesday, August 25th. I'm Audra McCabe. Last night, the Montrose County School Board voted unanimously to ask Superintendent Dr. Carrie Stevenson to resign. Stevenson had been placed on paid leave in June, pending the outcome of a third-party investigation into the conduct of former Olathe Elementary Principal Jennifer Hesse and Stevenson's response to employee complaints. The school board heard the outcome of that investigation during a closed-door executive session at a previous meeting. Councilmember Jody Hovde initially voted against placing Stevenson on leave in June, but she voted in favor of Stevenson being asked to resign last night with a caveat.
I'd just like to go on to say that I might vote for the outcome of this, but I want it to be on record that I have concerns about the process and how we came to this decision.
KVNF will continue to keep you updated as the situation unfolds. Montrose County Public Health is warning residents to protect themselves from mosquitoes after confirming 3 West Nile virus cases in the county. The virus is most commonly spread to people through the bite of an infected mosquito. In Colorado, most human cases are typically reported in August and September, making continued prevention especially important as mosquito activity continues. Montrose County Public Health says that with 3 confirmed cases in Montrose County, we want residents to be aware that West Nile virus is present in our county and take simple steps to reduce their risk. Using insect repellent, wearing protective clothing, limiting time outdoors when mosquitoes are most active, and eliminating standing water around your home can all help prevent mosquito bites. The 2026 Delta County Fair closed out with another strong year for local 4-H and FFA exhibitors. Buyers and supporters showed up in force for the Junior Market Livestock Sale on August 8th in Hotchkiss. For KVNF, Lisa Young has the details.
This year's Junior Market Livestock Sale featured about 190 animals and brought in roughly $668,000, including add-ons. Beef brought in about $132,000 for 16 animals. Swine led the sale with 57 hogs, totaling around 202,000, goats and lambs, each with 47 entries. Goat total sales were roughly 121,000, and lambs were 120,000. In the small animal categories, 6 pens of turkeys sold for about 8,000, 6 pens of chickens for about 7,000, 2 pens of ducks totaled about 2,000, 6 pens of rabbits brought in around 6,000, and 1 pen of market quail added about $2,000. Supporters also contributed generously through add-ons. Those extra dollars given directly to exhibitors totaled about $67,000. Altogether, it marks another successful year for young livestock producers in Delta County and a strong show of support from families, businesses, and community partners. For KVNF News, I'm Lisa Young.
In remote Lake City, Colorado, there is often only one paramedic or advanced EMS provider on call at a given time. The county's ambulance service is primarily staffed by volunteers. Retired paramedic Buffy Witt grew up in Lake City. She started as a volunteer EMT with the local EMS agency right out of high school. Then she decided to make a career out of it. She worked as a paramedic in Denver for over 2 decades before moving back to her hometown in 2020 to be the director of Hinsdale County Emergency Medical Services. She left that position in 2024. As part of our continuing coverage of EMS services on the Western Slope, KVNF's Laura Palmisano spoke with Witt about what it was like being the sole paramedic in Hinsdale County and what goes into running a rural EMS agency.
What made you want to become a paramedic?
I had been convinced that I should become a volunteer EMT for Hinsdale County EMS, and when I felt like there was a need to be filled and that I was decent at it and I enjoyed it, I thought, I'm going to go be a paramedic, because there was only one paramedic here at the time, and I thought he could probably use some help. So I did go with the intention of coming back and helping this community.
And then when did you come back?
I moved back full-time in 2020 when I took the EMS director job, and started to oversee the ambulance service here.
What was that experience like for you?
Well, I did take over January of 2020, and the agency had been in a transition period prior, and 2020 was the pandemic year. So it was challenging, to say the least. We had a team of volunteers that needed to be bolstered in training and morale, and we were also dealing with the pandemic, COVID.
And how long did you run the EMS here?
Until 2024, so 4 years as the EMS director. But prior to that, I had been volunteering here, done some training coordination since 1997. Like, I never stopped giving to this community, even though I was in Denver.
And why did you decide to retire from being a paramedic?
I honestly had some challenging things that went down. Being the only paramedic in the system for a good amount of the time, I felt like I was always on call, and that was hard in and of itself. And then I had an incident in 22 where I was the primary paramedic responder to an auto accident that involved my son. That was challenging. And then I responded to an accident of a childhood friend who was a fatality in an accident. And the kind of the nail was responding to my good girlfriend who had a cardiac event at her place of work. And it just felt like time for me to retire.
So you've seen a lot and experienced a lot through EMS, and you understand the challenges of running and having an EMS system in a rural area. Given that scope, how do you think this community benefits by having the EMS, and how does it differ from the EMS in a large city?
Oh man, this community benefits from having an EMS system here locally because, you know, minutes count in a lot of cases, and we would have to wait for over an hour for an ambulance to arrive from a neighboring community. And so having first responders here really does make the difference between life and death. The difference is this system relies on volunteers, and it is difficult to volunteer your time to be on call 24/7 for an ambulance service when you're not getting paid to do that. And so you're taking time away from your family and holidays and all sorts of other things to give of yourself for the community. And while people are generally happy to do that, it is very taxing. And that is not the case in a bigger city where there's salaries to be paid and overtime to be made.
And how was it challenging being the sole paramedic in the county during your tenure?
Boy, yeah, challenging. Definitely challenging. Being born and raised here, my link to the community is deep and wide. And being the only paramedic means you don't really have anybody else to rely on to help at that advanced level to help you make those decisions. That is not to say that I didn't have an incredible team of EMTs surrounding me, but it's a lot of pressure to make those decisions without somebody else to bounce ideas off of, and also to be at least an hour away from definitive care. And then you add the layer on top of that, which is the people that you respond to. There's a good chance that you will know them and love them, or know someone who knows them and loves them. It takes an emotional toll for sure. And then there's the pressure of knowing that if you are not on call, there is not a paramedic that is going to be available for the service. So I made myself available to run calls as much as possible, including 24/7, mostly 365, like putting off vacations and not traveling because I knew that the community needed coverage. And that was a lot of pressure. And that was part of the reason why I decided to retire when I did.
That's your KVNF Regional Newscast for Tuesday, August 25th. I'm Audra McCabe.